Welcome back to the Look and Sound of Leadership, an ongoing series of executive coaching tips designed to help you be perceived in the workplace the way you want to be perceived. I'm Tom Henschel, your executive coach, and today we're talking about connecting over video. Greta was beaming. In the middle of our Zoom coaching conversation, her 10-year-old daughter had come in asking for something. They'd spoken in German. Greta lived in Switzerland. I had no idea what they had said, but the exchange had been very sweet to watch. Greta had rubbed the girl's cheek affectionately as they spoke. There was an ease and a comfort between them. Before the daughter turned to go, I called hello and waved. She smiled and waved back, and then she went, and Greta beamed. Then her smile changed. She said, "I was on the phone with a colleague in Germany the other day, just the phone, no video. She's got two small kids at home, and one of them burst into the room during the call. She lashed out at that kid. 'I'm on the phone, you can't come in here.' I got really embarrassed for her." Greta held up her hands in surrender. "But I understand. Everybody's crazy. Who can be sane in the middle of all this?" I nodded sadly. "Video exposes all of us, huh? Myself included." She laughed and waved at the room behind her, saying, "I'm doing business from my bedroom. My whole team has seen my bedroom. Not that I don't like my bedroom, I do, but I don't usually invite my team here for meetings." I laughed. "I bet that keeps the laundry off the floor." "Well, thank God we have big closets," she laughed back. "But all of us are seeing each other in new ways, aren't we?" she wondered. "Seeing each other's homes, seeing each other's families." "How is that for you?" I asked. "Well, I like it. I've always appreciated differences. Do you know the StrengthsFinder assessment?" "Sure," I said. She said, "One reason I think it was so popular was that it promoted this idea that everyone has strengths, and theirs are different from yours. Well, to me, that was a big duh. I've always looked at people that way, seeing their differences. Well, this is that in spades, isn't it? We are all seeing each other at our most individual, for better and for worse." "Well, like me, seeing you with your daughter," I said. "It was sweet, and something I never would have seen otherwise." She nodded and gave a big sigh. It was hard for us to work out the rules about how we were all going to live together 24 hours a day. We had three big sit-down conversations about it before everyone was happy. But I'm just glad my girls are old enough so we can hash it out with them. But my coworker, the one with the two little kids, she can't negotiate with them. They're too little. And there's no babysitter to hand them off to. She is really stuck. I feel so badly for people like her." I waited, interested to see where she would go next. She pointed at her camera, saying, "This little thing is vicious, you know. I used to think I was pretty good with video. You know how global we are, Tom. I did video meetings from our conference rooms all the time. But this is nothing like that." "How not?" I asked. "Well, distance to start with," she said. She gestured towards my image on her screen. "I am seeing your face so close up. Do you know how close we'd have to sit for me to see you in this kind of detail? Too close." I laughed. "Well, it does put us close together." "And it's intense," she said. "As big an extrovert as I am, feeling so close to people all day long is exhausting." I leaned back and rolled my chair a few inches away. "Would this be more comfortable for you?" She took her time, really looking. And then she nodded, "I think it would." She scooted her own chair back. "Is this better for you?" "Well, actually, no. I prefer you close up." "It doesn't get too intense for you?" she asked, scooting back in. "Well, sometimes. You know, they're talking about Zoom fatigue as a real thing. Our brains get tired over video. I think the closeness you're talking about is part of that." "Well, I do get tired," she said. "You know something else I'm wondering about?"
"What's that?"
"How do I want to look when we're all reduced to those little Brady Bunch windows?"
"What have you decided?"
"In a thumbnail, I think it's better to sit close to the lens. I just never know how people set up their screens. I don't know if I'm a thumbnail or not. In general, thumbnail or not, how do you think your people look on camera? She shrugged. They look okay, I suppose. Well, no, some don't. But that's what's so different from those video conferences. The video part wasn't really that important. It was usually a big wide shot of the whole conference room and the people looked like bugs. Who cared how people looked? Well, not anymore. We're stars on our own screens. I draped my hand under my chin, tilted my head, and said huskily, I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille. She laughed. What were you thinking when you asked how people looked on camera? I said, I was thinking cinematically. Angle, lighting, background. Those are the three big things that can help you connect on video. And sound, four things. She said, angle. Have you seen people who use their phone and put it down on a table? You end up looking up their nose? Or they're nothing but chin and neck? I smiled. A lot of ceiling, too. She laughed, then reached towards her own camera. I've been wondering, is my camera up too high? Sometimes I feel like I might get a crick. Oh, you're fairly close to level, Greta. That's the ideal. Eyes level to the lens. Yours isn't bad. She said, you have a high-def camera, don't you? I do. I think it makes a difference. The image is always sharp and the ratio's more realistic. Ratio? She asked. How the camera sees. Some cameras have a fisheye feel to them. That won't happen in high-def, and they're so cheap now. But, I held up a finger, you gotta, just gotta have lighting. If you don't have lighting, it doesn't matter what angle you're at or how good your camera is. Her eyes flitted above her camera. She smiled at what she saw. I love the light in this room. Does it look okay? Oh, yeah. Where you are sitting with that window in front of you, yes, that is a lot of front light. And that is what we need to be able to see each other, front light. Every now and then, the reflection in your glasses blocks me from seeing your eyes, but yes, I love how well you're lit. Nodding up and down to make them glint, she asked, should I take them off? Well, if it was constant, I'd say yes, but yours only flash now and then. I'd say leave them on. She pursed her lips. One woman on my team is always in shadow, and she may not know it, but it is literally as if she is making herself invisible. It is hard to connect with her if I can't see her face. I nodded and smiled. Young actors in the theater are always being told, find your light. And when they ask why, the answer is, you have to get light on your face if you want the audience to hear you. To see you, you mean, she said. No. To hear you. That's what actors learn. It's amazing, Greta. I have seen it over and over and over. If people can't see you well, they won't hear you well. It was always true in theater, and I think it's true on video, too. Your experience with that woman in shadow is the perfect example. Get light on your face from the front, or people won't hear you. You know another place I want to see light, she asked? Behind the person. When there's a dark hallway or something behind the person, it has a little horror in it. Background, I said. That's one of my four things, right? She said, I had a bit of a background disaster here. When this shelter at home first started and I began using this room as my office, I had a big potted plant coming out of the back of my head. I looked ridiculous. I had to move the plant to the other corner. I think it's going to die over there, but it could not stay where it was. Well, I'm glad you noticed, I said. Do you see backgrounds that are brightly lit windows? Not on my team, she said. But someone I talk with in Chicago sits in front of a big window, and I can't ever see his face because the lens shuts down. He's always in silhouette. It's hard to connect with him. Another version of disappearing, I said. In a different tone, she said, the last item on your list was sound. I don't know what you meant by sound, but can I tell you one thing? Some people have terrible microphones. Every word they say is just a little distorted, or they're hard to hear, like they're in another room, but they're sitting right there. All of which gets solved with a headset, I said with a shrug. I wore one. She did not. Sometimes I feel like I'm shouting, she said. A headset would take care of that, right? Absolutely, I agreed. I pointed to my lips and said, having a microphone right here is like having your ear right here. I can talk much more naturally when the mic isn't down by the keyboard. Yeah, it's easier to connect, she said. Then tousling her hair, she said, I'll have to wrestle with my hair or find better earbuds, but you've convinced me on this one. And then with new energy, she asked, do you know a big barrier I am finding these days? What? I asked. Attention span. In our old video meetings, and we used to have a lot of them, you learned to listen for long periods. You'd follow along. You would save your questions. But listening's a lot harder on these video calls, and I'm not sure why. Maybe the fatigue is part of it. How do you handle it? Well, I change things up every 5 minutes or so. I mean, it's a pain in the ass to do it, but I do it. Otherwise, I think people drift off, especially if they're staring at a little gallery of tiny faces. It's so easy to stop listening. Plus, we're all so distracted on the best of days, aren't we? I mean, you've got to break content into little pieces. Little pieces? What does that look like? I asked. Well, if someone's presenting, explaining a slide, let's say, stop and ask for questions every 5 minutes. Don't let anyone lecture. Break it up. Do a poll. Ask people to answer a question in the chat. Something. The next time I saw Greta, she had a high-definition camera and earbuds. And she had talked with her team about angles, lighting, background, and sound. She knew her team's ability to create connections over video was crucial to their display of the look and sound of leadership. We are all spending a lot of time on video these days, aren't we? Look, you've got to pay attention to this. You've got to get light on your face. Think about what people are seeing behind you. Get the lens level with your eyes and make your sound the best it can be. Put a little time into this. You know, figure it's your trade-off for not having to commute. Staying connected on video is hard. I think it's hard. And we have to do whatever we can do to keep ourselves engaged. One way to do that is to be your own cinematographer. If you are using Zoom, you can completely customize what you're looking at. Like, just for an example, pin the speaker's video. And what that means is that that person fills the screen no matter who else is talking. Or change the screen to thumbnails. Whatever, keep your eyes engaged and you'll listen better. What I didn't talk about in the story with Greta was connecting over video interpersonally. Interpersonal connections are ultimately about eye contact, or what we perceive as eye contact. And can I just tell you what eye contact is not? I had a client, this was not all that long ago, I had a client who had his camera mounted on one display, but his video conferencing was on another display. I spent most of my time looking at his ear. And not surprisingly, I wasn't always sure we had made a meaningful connection because we were not looking at each other. I mean, he was looking at me, but I could never look back. It was not eye contact. And if you are an introvert, I am sorry. I know sustained eye contact can feel like a vampire attack on you. I feel for you. And I hope that you can turn on eye contact when you need it. I really do believe that eye contact is a muscle you can build with practice. And it's a good tool to have. I'm going to talk about one more tool that you can have right after this month's gratitude. And I have a whopper this month. I just found out that people have been commenting and reviewing on CastBox for a long time. Thank you, people. I never knew you were there until just now. Thank you so much, all of you. So much gratitude. What wonderful reviews. From now on, CastBox reviewers, I will give you a shout-out like I'm about to give a shout-out to these folks who left reviews in iTunes. Sarah Coer from Australia. Rob Biss from Canada, Wegen Lenker from the Netherlands, thank you so much. And then from here in the United States, M.V. Jennings, Proseric, William Buchanan, and Ranger Henry. Thank you all for taking the time and for saying what you say. One more quick word about gratitude, and I wonder if this is going to sound at all familiar to you right now. I was on a call with about 30 other coaches. This is the team of senior coaches at Arden Coaching, a company run by an old friend of mine named Maren Perry. And Maren got us all together, and one of the things we did together was we wrote our answers to two questions. The first question was about what did we miss during this time of the lockdown? And we wrote on that. And my list didn't come very fast. It was interesting. The second question was, what were we grateful for? And the list just poured out of me. I had more to write when the time was up. These are difficult times, and I have so much to be grateful for. And I hope that is your experience too. Okay, back to connecting on video. I was about to give you a tool, but maybe it's not a tool. It's an offer. Do you know the acronym VUCA, V-U-C-A? The words in VUCA are volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous, V-U-C-A. There are theories of behavior about what we humans do when we are in a VUCA situation, and this pandemic is one perfect example of VUCA, volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. I would say so. So one of the things that we tend to do in the face of VUCA is to be confounded. We don't really know what to do, so we don't do anything. One thing that helps get us out of being confounded is learning. Listening to someone who is even just one guitar lesson ahead of you can be comforting at this time, right? I know for myself, I'm going to a lot of webinars that I really wouldn't have even considered going to 6 weeks ago. In a VUCA world, one antidote to being confounded is to be curious. And that is what coaching helps with. I don't talk about this very often, but do you know that I coach a lot of podcast listeners just like you? I do. It's great. You should try it. Go to the website, hit contact, tell me how I can help. Because my sense is that these days, a lot of people would like some help, and helping is what I do. It gives me meaning. And look, I may not be right for what you need right now. I mean, if I am, great, get in touch. But no matter what, I hope you're getting the help you need. Even if it's just a Zoom dinner with your cousins in Cedar Rapids, I hope you are reaching out and getting help. You know there's always help on the Essential Communications website. It is free, no sign-in, just pop into the archive, get what you need, pop out, easy peasy. It's essentialcom.com. It's essentialcom with two M's.com. Categories in the archive you might look through this month are executive presence, perception, how you're perceived, leading teams, because yes, I think connecting over video and leading teams do connect, managing yourself. Five related episodes are video feedback and executive presence, executive presenting, high stakes meetings, building emotional intelligence, and the human element. Okay, that's it for me. Until next time, I'm Tom Henschel. Thanks so much for listening.